We're going to go back to the book of Philemon. And if you need a handout, would you just lift up your hand real high? And we'll be glad to give you that. Anybody need one? Front and back, just one sheet tonight. Anybody need a handout? Just lift your hand up real high if you did not receive one. All right. Well, let's go then to Philemon. All right. Philemon, are you glad to be here tonight, huh? Good. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Again, what a wonderful full house for Father's Day night. I didn't expect that. I'm very thrilled by your faithfulness. It's an encouragement to me as your pastor. Thank you so much. All right. Philemon, this is a personal letter, remember? Personal letter that Paul wrote to his dear friend Philemon. Look at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, we believe that's his wife, and Archippus, his son, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So the church at Colossae met right there in Philemon's home. Must have been wealthy, probably had a huge house. It appears that Philemon was a businessman. You know, he wasn't in full-time service, but Paul had led him to Christ, and Paul really loved this guy. They were fellow laborers. They were companions in labor. They had served God side by side. Why is Paul writing a letter to Philemon there at Colossae? Well, look at verse number 10. Paul gets to the point here. He talks about Philemon, what a blessing is, in verses 1 through 7. We talked about last week the idea of how to treat our fellow laborers in Christ. Well, let's get to the point of the letter, though, this week. If you look at verse 10, he says, I beseech thee for my son. Paul calls this guy his son. That's not his physical son. It's his spiritual son. He's going to tell you why he calls him that. He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. And here's why he called him my son, whom I have begotten in my bonds. The idea here is that Paul led Onesimus to Christ. He was able to lead Onesimus to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul is in prison at Rome. Somehow he comes in contact with Onesimus. He leads Onesimus to the Lord. Okay, so he leads this young man to the Lord while he's in prison at Rome. Here's the problem. Here's the issue of the letter. Paul finds out that Onesimus had been a servant of Philemon's. Okay, he served and worked for Philemon. He had rebelled against his leader. He'd rebelled against Philemon, his boss, if you will. Rebelled against him, stole from him, and then he runs. He cuts and runs. He flees. And so here you have this story that unfolds in this chapter, in this book. And you've got three principal characters in the book, all right? And what we'll do is I'm going to kind of act some of this out a little bit and show you so that you can get a visual of this thing. And I was going to use Clint. Where did Clint go? Do you see where he went? Oh, come here, Clint. You help me. Clint is the young man Onesimus, okay? So you are going to be over here. Why don't Pastor Rich, you just look like a businessman. Come here, Rich. I should have gotten Larry. He's the one that looks like the doctor, I guess. But no, come on up. You're Philemon. So you're the guy, the church meets in his home at Colossae, okay? Onesimus worked for him, was his servant. He ends up doing him wrong, and boom, you flee and you leave, okay? You're gone. You end up in Rome. Well, but then there's Paul. Brother Rob, come here. You're going to be Paul, all right? Then there's Paul, okay? Now, you got three characters in the story. In your handout, let's do the first one. You got Paul right here, okay? So write that in. You got Paul. Paul has a close relationship with who? This guy right here. They're co-laborers. He led him to the Lord. Paul led him to the Lord. And so they're tight. I mean, they are tight. They are good buddies, good friends, fellow laborers. They've served God side by side. They've been down in the trenches together, serving the Lord. So these guys are really tight. They're close friends. Okay? Now the second character in the story is over there, Philemon. Okay? And so Philemon, is that in your notes there? Yeah, write that in. The second blank there is Philemon. Philemon, he is the guy that, yes, he has a close partnership with Paul, but he's been done wrong and dirty by Philemon. So he is the offended head, if you will, of Onesimus, okay? Look down at verse 11 there. And notice what Paul says about Onesimus when he's writing to Philemon. Paul said, picture now Paul here behind me. And Paul says to him, he says about this guy, which in time past was to thee what? Unprofitable. He says, but now profitable to thee and to me. So obviously, the third character in your story, if you'll write it in, is Onesimus. And obviously, this guy's life had changed. He was a rebel, okay? He was the enemy over here of Philemon because of wicked works. Now, look up here after you write. He's the enemy of Philemon. But now, come here, Paul, he's got a special relationship with Paul. Okay? Paul led him to the Lord while Paul is in prison for preaching the gospel in Rome. So you got Philemon back here at Colossae, and if you were here Wednesday night for Colossians, you saw Colossae and Rome's a long way apart. Okay? Y'all know where Rome is in Italy, right? Well, still there, right? In Italy, all right? And Turkey is where Colossae was. So he's over in modern-day Turkey. They're way over here in Rome. And so Paul leads Onesimus to Christ. Well, you know, you can see that puts Paul kind of in a situation here. Paul is going to play the role of mediator between Onesimus and Philemon. Paul is going to beseech him to receive back Onesimus, forgive him, restore him, not as a servant. He said, I want you to receive him as a brother in Christ. Look down with me at verse number 15. He says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest, what's the next two words? Receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. He ain't just going to be working for you. No, he's a brother beloved. Especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Verse 17 is a key verse in the book. Look at it. If thou count me therefore a partner, he tells, this is him, okay, Paul, talking to him, Philemon. He says, hey man, if you count me as your partner, if you count me as your friend and co-laborer, look what it says. He says, receive him as what? Myself. Receive him as you would receive me. There are some incredible truths. Thanks, guys. You can be seated. There are some incredible truths. Don't get too comfortable because I'm going to bring you all back up again. But just stay here, Clint. Yeah, don't get too comfortable, all right? There are some incredible spiritual truths that are going to be put on display here in this little book. Now, folks, listen. We see these deep truths that are illustrated in the situation between these three guys. And it's as if the wonderful doctrines that the Apostle Paul taught in Romans through Titus, all of a sudden they're put to real life drama right here in this final little book that Paul wrote. It's the perfect book to end Paul's epistles because it puts on display what Paul's been teaching for 12 books. In fact, look at the front of your notebook, and what does it say? It says Colossians and Philemon. What's your notebook cover say? The grace life taught, that's Colossians, and what? Demonstrated. What book is that? Right here, Philemon. We're going to see the grace life actually demonstrated right here in this little book. It's an awesome book. There are three spiritual truths we see illustrated here in the situation between these three men. The first in your handout there is the doctrine of mediation. That is, Christ is the mediator between me and God. Now, come here, Onesimus. Onesimus is over here. And Onesimus is a picture of every one of us before we found Jesus Christ. He had rebelled against his Lord. He's now an enemy. He's condemned by law. His actions had separated him from Philemon. And he's on the run. He is lost. He's without hope. He is in a completely alienated position. All he can do is just run. And that is a perfect description of every one of us before we trusted Jesus Christ to be our Savior. In your handout, it describes us there in Ephesians 2:12. Paul says that at that time you were without Christ. What does that mean? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. And then what's the next three words? There you go. Having no hope and without God in the world. Look at Colossians 1:21. We'll get to this verse when we study Colossians on Wednesday nights. And you that were sometime, and look at these words here, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now at the reconciled. Those two words, that's what Onesimus was. Alienated, and he was alienated, he was separated from Philemon by wicked works. He was alienated, he was an enemy by his wicked works. Now, think about this with me. Our own sin alienated us from God. Were we like Onesimus? Yes or no? Yes, we were separated and alienated from God. We were enemies of God by wicked works. We're condemned by the law, right? Condemned by the law, just like him. There was nothing we could do in and of ourselves to bring reconciliation with God. We were without hope, the Bible says. The problem was beyond our ability to be able to solve, folks. We weren't going to figure out a way to make things right with God. We weren't going to figure out a way to try to somehow bring reconciliation with God. Now back to the story here. There was a mediator. Come on, big guy. Yeah, all right. There was a mediator who stepped in to help condemned Onesimus. The Apostle Paul mediated to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. Listen, Paul did for Onesimus what Onesimus could not do for himself. Now let's apply that to ourselves and God. We're like him. We're in a hopeless, alienated position from God Almighty. In your handout, it says, but a mediator stepped in to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. You say, who was that? Well, notice in your handout there at the bottom, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is it? The man Christ Jesus. Hey, look back there. You see Ephesians 2:12? Go back to your front of your handout again. Look at Ephesians 2:12. That at that time, we're like Onesimus here, without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Do you know what the next verse says? Ephesians 2:13? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You look at the next verse on there. Remember Colossians 1:21? Look at that. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he, that's Jesus, what? And then the next verse says, in the body of his flesh through death. Good news. We have a mediator. We have a mediator. Somebody went to bat for us. And that somebody was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul here is a figure, if you will, or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he went to bat for Onesimus to try to reconcile him back to Philemon, the Lord Jesus Christ went to bat for us. He was fully God, he was fully man, and he was the perfect mediator between God and man. Amen, church. Amen, amen, amen. Number two, thanks, guys. The second spiritual truth, don't get comfortable, guys. The second spiritual truth is the doctrine of imputation. This is the second thing we see here in this story. That is, Christ takes my sin and gives me his righteousness. Christ takes my sin and gives me his righteousness. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says. Go down to verse 18. Look what he says to Philemon. about Onesimus. Now, please look at this. This is so good. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught. So the idea here is Onesimus has stolen and he wronged Philemon. So he says, if he's wronged thee or oweth thee aught, then look what Paul says. Put that on mine what? Account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. The idea here is Paul says to Philemon, hey man, whatever he's done against you, whatever this young man owes you, you put it on my account and I'll pay his debt. And as you read through this, it becomes clear that Paul is telling Philemon in your handout, take his debt. Take all his wrongdoing and put it on my account. Credit me with the wrong he's done. Credit it to me. And then he goes further. Take my good standing that I have with you, Philemon, and put that on his account. What a beautiful picture of the doctrine of imputation. In your handout, it says that the word impute simply means to credit. To credit. What does the Bible say in 1 Peter 2:24? It says there that Christ bore our sins. Listen, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Romans 5 says that when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. It says that for some man, for a good man, maybe somebody will die. For a just man, somebody will die. He says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Sinners. Christ, he died for us. You know what Jesus said when he died on the cross? Jesus said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but this is the idea of his cross work. What basically Jesus was saying is he was saying, take every one of Dan Proctor's sin debts and put them on my account. Don't impute them to him. Impute them to me. Credit them to my account, Father. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick. Go back there. I want to show you a verse. 2 Corinthians 5. Keep your bookmarker here in Philemon. And Rochelle, while they're turning, can you get that song, 2 Corinthians 5:21? It's in the key of C. Can you grab that real quick? I forget what number it is. Do you know? She can just play it. That's fine. I forget what number. It's in the key of C. I know that. If you can grab it out. Oh, you already know it? Okay. We're going to try it in a second. Hold on just a second. Hold on. Not yet. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Okay, look at it. It says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. As Jesus Christ hung there on that cross, he was taking all the trespasses that you and I committed, or that the world before him committed, and he was taking those and he was paying the debt for those sins. He was saying, Father, take their sins and impute them to me. I'll take them in my body. I'm going to take their sins and bear them, put them on my account. Not only this, this is where it really gets good, is he says, not only will I take their sins and have their sins put on my account, Jesus said, I want you to take my righteousness, Father, and I want you to put it on Dan's account. Put it on Larry's account. Put it on Rich's account. Put it on Paul's account. Take my good standing. Take my righteousness and put it on their account. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 is all about. It's there. If you're in your Bible there, look down at verse 21. It's also in your handout. For he hath made him, that's Christ, to be what for us? That's imputation. That's imputation. That's the doctrine of imputation. Our sins were imputed to Him who knew no sin. Wow. That we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in Him. That's imputation. He takes and credits my sin to His account and pays for it. And then He takes His righteousness and puts that on my account. That's a good place to say amen right there. Boy, we better be glad for the doctrine of imputation. There's a song we do. Let's go ahead and sing that. I think a lot of you know it. The words are right there. Verse 21. If we can turn on the piano. Sing it with me. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That is the doctrine of imputation. In your handout, thank you, Rochelle, Christ takes every single one of our sin debts and has them imputed to Him. And the moment we trust Him as our Savior, He takes His righteousness and credits that to our account. And it's all on the basis of our mediator and what our mediator's done. It's all done on the basis of our faith in Christ and what He's accomplished. Go back to the book there of Romans, right before Corinthians, Romans chapter number 4. And here you're going to see the doctrine of imputation. Romans 4. Tomorrow when you go to work, you can say, I went to church yesterday. What'd you learn? I learned about the doctrine of imputation. And they'll be, what is that? And you got an opportunity to tell them what that means because you're learning tonight what it means. It means simply to credit. Christ had all your sins credited or imputed to Him. He took His righteousness when you put your faith in Him and He imputed that to you. Does that make sense? Say amen. You get that? All right. Look down at Romans 4, verse number 5. Romans 4, 5. But to him that worketh not, okay, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted. What is your faith counted for? Righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not, what's the last two words? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not credit sin to your account. Aren't you glad once you get saved, sin can never be credited to your account ever again? The Lord won't impute sin to you. All sins, all trespasses, Colossians says, are forgiven. Go to Romans 4, verse 20. It says here that it's talking about Abraham, and it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, okay, based on his faith and what God said, therefore it was, there's that word, imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Look at this. To whom it, righteousness, shall be imputed. If this is for our dispensation, how do we have righteousness put on our account? If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Have you put your faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then what's been imputed? What's been credited to you? Righteousness. Are you glad for that tonight? You see how we see this illustrated in the book of Philemon? Let's look at the last thing. Go with me over to Philemon. Go back to the book of Philemon. And let's look at the third and final spiritual truth here tonight that we see illustrated in this little story about Paul and Philemon and Onesimus. And that's the third spiritual truth is the truth of identification. Okay, identification. That is that God now receives me as he does his own son. We saw the doctrine of mediation. Christ mediated for us, just like Paul did for Onesimus. We saw the doctrine of imputation. Christ takes my sin, gives me his righteousness, just like Paul said, put it on my account, I'll pay it. That's what Christ did. And then we see the third spiritual truth, identification. God now receives me as he does his own son. Look down at verse 17. He says to Philemon, if thou count me therefore a, and I love that word, if you count me a what? Partner. He says, then I want you to receive him. Receive Onesimus as myself. Three times, Paul admonishes Philemon with these two words, receive him, receive him, receive him. It's in these words that we see the doctrine of identification. Now, come back up here, guys, all three of you, if you don't mind. I need my guys. The Apostle Paul, did he have a wonderful, loving relationship with Philemon, yes or no? Did he have a partnership with him? Yes, they did. Now, he says to Philemon here, he says, look, man, even though he has sinned against you and wronged you, okay, and he has. Paul didn't try to say he hadn't. He knew he had. Onesimus was honest. He told Paul what he'd done. And even though he's sinned against you, even though he's wronged you, you know what I want you to do, Philemon? I want you to take this young man and I want you to take him out of the alienated relationship and I want you to put him in the partnership relationship. And I want you to treat him just like you would me. Philemon and Onesimus are in an alienated relationship. So until Paul had a relationship with Onesimus, there would continue to be a breach between these two men. Let me say that again. They're alienated. You're out of the picture. You're back here, okay? Okay, these two are alienated. They have an alienated relationship. Until he gets a relationship with him, okay, then there's no way he is going to be put over here into a received partnership with him. Are you with me tonight? Now, think about this. Think about this. Christ does for us what Paul did for Onesimus. Were we alienated from God by wicked works? Yes. But does Christ have a loving partnership with the Father? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said, he said, have you been so long, Philip? And you, because remember Philip said, show us the Father and it'll satisfy us. He said, you mean you've been with me so long and you haven't figured it out yet? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There is an absolute unity of partnership between the Father and between the Son. There's this loving, eternal partnership between the Father and the Son in the Godhead. So when you trust Christ, okay, and Paul here is a picture of Christ, and Philemon here a picture of the offended Lord. But when you trust Jesus Christ and you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know what that means? That means that he takes you, take him by the hand, he reconciles you to the Father, and he, Christ, brings you into the same partnership with the Father that he has. You get brought into the same partnership as Christ has with the Father. That's why Jesus told the disciples, he said, hey guys, he said, there's no other way unto the Father but by me. No other way. You can't get in the partnership relationship unless it's through me. And the moment that you trust Christ, It says in your handout there, the moment you trust Christ, Christ says, Father, I've paid all their sin debts. I've given them my righteousness. Now receive them just like you would me. Receive them just like you would me. Now, when you got saved, and Onesimus here is a picture of us, and when you got saved, it says in your handout, you receive more than just your sins forgiven. Now look, that's good news, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty good stuff. If that's all it was, that'd still be good. But you got more than just your sins forgiven. In your handout, it says you received an eternal identification in Christ, whereby you are completely accepted and received by the Father. In your handout there, look what it says. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant. Isn't that neat? He said, remember, he was a servant to Philemon. Remember what Paul said? Don't receive him as a servant. He said, I want you to receive him just like you would me. Receive him as a brother beloved. Look what the Bible says. Thou art no more a servant, but a what? A son. And if a son, then an heir of God. And how did it all happen? Through Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted in the beloved. The Bible says we have boldness and access unto the Father through Christ. If you are saved tonight, listen, if you're saved and your faith is in Jesus Christ, praise God, you don't have to slip in the back door of heaven. You are a new creature in Christ. You have a new identification. You have been made one with Jesus, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. And Jesus Christ became a curse for us on the cross, so that we could be eternally accepted of the Father. And the moment you got saved, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. The moment you got saved, you were eternally identified in Christ. Therefore, the Father receives you as He does His own Son, Jesus Christ. Here we see the doctrine here of not only mediation. And we see not only how that Christ mediated, just like Paul did for Onesimus. We see not only the doctrine of imputation. Hey, take everything he's done, Philemon, and you put it on my account. I'll pay it. But then we see the doctrine of identification. Receive him as myself. As myself. Woo! Man. If you are soaking wet, this will still light your fire. This will get you fired up. If not, man, what is wrong? Amen? Do you see how valuable this little letter is to us? He says, you take him out of the alienated relationship over here. And he takes him by the hand and says, look, I'm going to bring him over here. I want you to bring him in the partnership relationship. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for you and I. He took us out of the alienated relationship. And He put us over here and said, Father, I paid their sin debts. I gave them my righteousness. Now receive them as myself. Receive them just like you would me, Father. Thanks, guys. Do you see why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this and preserve it for us? This real-life situation illustrates for us many of the wonderful doctrines of Jesus Christ and what He does for the believer. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you thankful we have a mediator? Boy, I am too. Are you thankful that Christ had your sins imputed to Him and then He had His righteousness credited to your account? Aren't you glad for that? And in your handout it says, aren't you thankful? This is that doctrine of identification. Aren't you thankful that God now sees you as, do you know what the blank is? In Christ. God now sees you as in Christ. And you know what the good news is? We're not even done with this little book yet. So bring your notebooks back next Sunday night, because we're going to do part 4. on the book of Philemon. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.